Well, welcome to the Hope Interviews. This evening, my guest is Shelley Wilson. She comes from America. I'll let her tell you where she comes from. If you're listening for the first time, welcome to this particular forum. Welcome to the Dial the Cosmos podcast, and welcome to everybody on Instagram. So we've got lots to get through, and I'm going to welcome Shelley into the studio. So hello, Shelley, and welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you, Dominic. I'm so blessed to be able to share a conscious conversation with you today.
Conscious being the operable word, really, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
It's nice, isn't it? We get there in the end. We always do. We always find a way. So, would you like to tell the listeners, first of all, what it is that you are very interested in, and how you go about your particular genres?
Yes, well, thank you. I have always known things. I've always been sensitive to energies. I was raised in the Baptist faith. I'm here in Oklahoma in the United States, so the Midwest part of America. And my dad was a civil engineer, so raised in an environment that you're not really supposed to ask questions, especially when you're curious about those things that may not seem normal. And I'm putting normal in air quotes in my mind, because the idea too is if we think about everything being so extraordinary. And I have been practicing Reiki. I'm an intuitive medium, and I have been blessed to speak at several Unity churches here in the area, as well as write some books. So I love this journey into consciousness and connecting with people like you, Dominic.
Okay, well, thank you, Shelley. That's kind of you. We're going to break this down. First of all, tell us your websites, your book titles, and where people can contact you. And we'll redo that at the end of the show so people can actually, go back and find you very easily. So,
Okay.
books, website, and contact details, please.
Okay, yes. So my website is shellyrwilson.com, and you've got to put that R in there or you'll get a different Shelly Wilson. And my books are 28 Days to a New You, Connect to the You Within, Journey into Consciousness, and Embracing the Magic Within. And I can be found on social media on Instagram at Intuitive Medium Shelley, as well as on Facebook at Intuitive Medium Shelley, at Embracing the Magic Within, and at Journey into Consciousness. So I've got three pages that I share inspirational messages on.
Okay, that's great. And we'll recap that again at the end of the show. So remind
Okay.
me just to bring that back in, just in case people want to get in touch when they've heard you talk. So let's break this down. Let's talk about Reiki, first of all, because I mean, me being a novice, I'm not really too sure what Reiki is, although I know it's distant healing, is it? What does Reiki stand for and how does it work?
Okay, so Reiki is a Japanese technique for stress reduction and relaxation that promotes healing. That's the easiest way to describe it to people who are unfamiliar. In Japanese, the word Reiki is Japanese. It actually means universal life energy. And as we know, we are all energetic beings. So Reiki can be likened to spiritual healing, and also that aspect of creating a space for healing to occur. So we think about healing the physical, but also the mental, emotional, as well as the energetic body too.
Okay, so how does this work? How does your energy get transferred to somebody else?
Yes, so it can be done in person, a laying on of hands technique. You can also just stay in the auric field, so hands being placed above the physical body, whether the person is sitting in a chair or reclining or lying even on a massage table. That can be a Reiki table as well. And channeling that healing energy for the person, helping to clear and open any areas that may have not so much blockages, but may have interference, may be a better word to use. And Reiki, of course, can be sent distantly. So it's a matter of intention, just like we would hold space for someone or pray for someone or send good thoughts or good vibes, we can send Reiki at a distance as well.
So it's used for positive well-being.
Absolutely, wellness and well-being.
Okay, and for you, how long have you been practicing Reiki?
Yeah, so I was attuned to Reiki in 2008, and that's what sets Reiki apart from other healing modalities is an attunement process where the Reiki master then transfers it to the student. And there's three levels in Usui Reiki, and level one, you open up to the energies. Level two, you receive three symbols that you can work with. And then level three, or third degree, known as Reiki master, is where you receive three additional symbols. And then you have the ability to pass those attunements on to other people as well.
Okay, so these symbols, what are they representative of, Shelley?
So I like to think of these symbols more as archetypes of energy. So they have an intention, and then they, of course, have a proper name. And typically, it's respectful to keep the proper name to yourself unless you're attuning others or others are working with the energy. But one symbol is meant to increase the power. One is to send Reiki at a distance, and another one is to help to heal mental, emotional, and it's great for manifesting also.
Okay, so it has a real strong purpose as long as
Yes.
the intent is there for good.
Absolutely. Everything has to do with intention. And to me, Reiki can do no harm. It's meant to complement traditional therapies rather than be an alternative. However, I do know that there are people that prefer alternative choices rather than traditional care also.
Okay, so this is a very important part, isn't it? Because we're all connected. We're
Yes.
all part of the thought process, aren't we? We all have
Yes, we
our own
are.
soul vibration, our own soul energy. And if we can all help one another, even we over vast distances, this should be something that we open up to and understand. Where would
I
somebody that was listening to this show, where would they go to find that way of learning about how they could open themselves up to this process?
Yes. So to actually become attuned to Reiki, you would seek out a Reiki master who has the ability then to transfer that energy. However, as we know, we are all energetic beings, and it is a matter of intention. Many of us, as we recognized, intend for wellness and well-being for others, and we just create that space for healing. You can look online, and to me, you always want to go to credible sites, really practice discernment. Reiki is something that I do teach here in Oklahoma, but I also teach levels one and two online via Zoom, so people can be in any part of the world and become attuned if they wish to be attuned by me. But there are other practitioners, healers, masters that are working with the energy all over the world.
Yeah, and my concern, my question is how do people find reputable people that would do this? Because can
Yes.
anybody claim to be a Reiki master?
They can. And to me, this is where, once again, we have to trust in resonance and vibration and energy, and really knowing too that intention. You know, what is the intention behind it? Do we want to create a space? And one thing I believe, Dominic, is that Reiki is first and foremost for us, those individuals who are choosing to become attuned to Reiki. It does help to clear out the energetic clutter in our life, helps us to focus, helps us to heal, and then it will create that conscious ripple throughout our personal lives, but then our community and the world itself and consciousness as a whole.
Okay, so trust the process,
Yes.
find a reputable teacher, practitioner,
Yes.
and find the person that suits your own vibration.
Absolutely. And I have to add on to this, just like how you and I connected, there's resonance there. So we always have to trust our own gut, that knowingness that we have within us, listen to spirit, listen to our heart, and we're going to be guided.
Okay, so listen to the inner voice, the
Yes.
soul, if you like, Shelley. Yeah, I think
Exactly.
that's great advice and always something that people need to think about. before they set out. Because once they're setting out on a journey to understand how thought manifests or spirit works within us, we don't go back, do we? We just keep going.
Exactly. That's part of the awakening process. Once we wake up and begin tuning in to those heightened senses, we can no longer be asleep. We cannot turn our head and, look the other way.
Brilliant. I think that people, if they're interested, they can get in touch with you on your website, have a chat with you. I'm sure that you're quite happy just to talk to people and
Absolutely.
allow them to make their own decisions about whether it's right for them or not.
Absolutely. Free will is so important, and recognizing that we're all having this human life experience and we're all journeying together.
Okay. And before we move on from Reiki, tell me, what have you got from it as an individual?
Great question, Dominic, because before I tended to be very hypersensitive, and I am still sensitive to energies, but Reiki has helped to give me the tools that I need to feel more balanced. I talk a lot about practicing that good energetic hygiene, being centered and grounded, clearing our aura, clearing our chakras, and even thinking about the perfectionist aspect that I tend to gravitate towards, and realizing things don't have to be perfect. They just have to be true. They have to be real and honest, and being open about that, and knowing that as humans, sometimes we may make those perceived errors or mistakes, but instead just see them as opportunities to learn and to grow. What do we take forward from it?
Sure. And the human experience is
Yes,
something
giving.
to be experienced, then we're going to be fallible, aren't we, at points?
We are, and we've got to give ourselves grace. I mean, looking at our younger self, even our yesterday self, and just saying, wow, you know what? We're doing great. Let's keep going. Let's keep growing and seeing what we can create.
See, that brings up another question. My mind goes from jumping around all over the place,
I'm
Shelley.
following you. I'm right with you, Dominic.
Okay, so what would you tell your younger self? Say your 20-year-old self, Shelley, what advice would you give that particular lady at that particular time in her life?
I'm feeling emotional as you're asking me that question. I would say, you know what? You are perfect just the way you are, regardless of how others perceive you or anything that you did or didn't do or anything like that. And just keep going. You've got a life ahead, and you are so very blessed to be here at this time. So, as you can see, that really touched me because I think about, looking back and even thinking about if I had someone that would say the same thing to me in that moment, but we can do that for ourselves now.
I know. I think that the one thing I would tell myself at that particular age, and that would be look after your teeth. I would always because I think that there's things that you don't know at 20 that you know at 15, that you things at 50
Right.
that you don't know that you would know at 60, and so on. I think as you go through life, little windows open, don't they, that you can look back and think,
Exactly.
if only I'd known that. So the letter to self. The letter to the 20-year-old self, I think, is a great way to introduce yourself to who you have become.
Exactly.
Okay, let's talk mediumship because this is
Okay.
something that we have in common and something that we've both, been able to and have a knowledge of. It's something that I think that is getting a much better audience now than what it's ever got. I think the world is accepting that there is something, there is a proof of a feeling of survival, because really mediumship is the proof of survival. And that's a wonderful message for anybody to translate or to be given or to actually just hear. So, how did you first discover that you were, you say, an intuitive medium?
Yes, I prefer the term intuitive because I do have psychic abilities, but psychic can have such a connotation connected to it, the idea of fortune teller, and I am not a fortune teller. I want to empower you to make the choices that are right for you. And so the mediumship aspect, once again, I've known things. I had actually gone back to college in 2008. Originally, I did not get my bachelor's. I just got an associate's degree and wanted to go ahead and pursue psychology, but it would have been difficult. I already had a degree in accounting, and so it was easier for me to obtain that bachelor's degree by getting a business degree, but I decided to get a minor in psychology. And it was the spring semester of my final year, and I took a class called On Death and Dying. And what a coincidence taking that class at that time. And it mediumship really was in my awareness, especially living in Oklahoma. And it was like taking that class. Lisa Williams came into my mind and awareness at that time. I went and saw her. She came to Tulsa, Oklahoma, to the Performing Arts Center and saw her that spring and then began
Let me
studying. And
cut across and just slow you down just a bit because I want to hear everything. But first of all, tell me who Lisa Williams is.
So Lisa Williams is a psychic medium from the UK, and she was discovered by Merv Griffin, and I think that was probably in the late 90s, early 2000s, but she had a TV show in Hollywood and all of that stuff. But she does a lot of teaching. She's now in the Lilydale area, but she got her start there in the UK, and she is British. So she, as I said, came into my awareness and began studying. I'd not heard of her before that time, but took a few classes with her. And then I studied with a few other teachers here, James Van Praagh and John Holland. And then was also blessed when Tony Stockwell, also from the UK, came to the Journey Within Church in Pompton Lakes, New Jersey. That is Janet Nohavik's church. And so was blessed to have that tutelage from him also. And just really growing and expanding. I would say before that, I did not have the confidence to trust the information flowing to me. But after studying with those teachers and continuing to work with spirit, sitting in the power every day, meditating, and just building those connections, I feel so very blessed to be able to make those connections for spirit, knowing that life after life does continue.
How important, Shelley, is confidence for a medium?
It is very important, primarily because we are human and we are perceiving the thoughts and feelings and impressions that flow to us. And we have to be confident and clear as we communicate what is being conveyed to us, conveying that to the sitter and staying very humble because, once again, we're interpreting the message, but the sitter may not always understand it as we convey it. So we have to know that we may perceive it not as it is supposed to be, shall we say, but at the same time, the message is coming through. We're not wrong, but it may be we are interpreting it incorrectly.
Okay, interesting point because I think confidence is a mainstay because how we deliver our messages may vary, but if we deliver them clearly, then people won't be in doubt over what we're saying, which is the one of the most important factors. But tell me, where do you believe a communique would actually originate from? So where did these messages first come from?
Meaning, when did I first start receiving them?
No,
Is that what
sorry,
you're
Shelley.
asking?
Let me be sorry, let me clear that up.
Okay.
When a message comes to you from you might say spirit, I might call it
Spirit.
something different, where does that originate from? Where does that message actually first start from? So if a person was to connect with you and talk to you through to somebody that was sat with you for a reading or for a sitting, where is that person that's communicating through you?
So to me, I believe that they're literally around us. So rather than feeling like they are far, far away, I feel like the other side is literally an arm's length away. And that they're once again just giving us those thoughts and impressions. And the other thing, too, is to me, evidence is extremely important because, as we know, Dominic, there are people now that just want to make you feel good. They give you a message that is great, but it may not have the evidence and the validation of who we're connecting with. And we want to build that evidence and then have compassionate communication as we then relay the message after the evidence is provided.
Sure, totally agree. So, how would and where does that evidence sit? So, for instance, what would be a credible piece of evidence to give to a person waiting for someone to come through to them?
Yes, so to me, of course, how they passed may be very significant. I often feel into the energy, determining if it's male and female, the relationship to the sitter, describing them, and then often the gestures and the words that I'm hearing in my mind to convey to them. It's great when a name comes through, but that doesn't always happen for me. Sometimes they do give me connector names, but I do find it primarily because I am clairsentient, they'll give me lots of feelings that I can acknowledge physically to the sitter.
Okay, I understand exactly what you're saying. And it's a little bit different to how we would communicate in our mortal world, isn't it?
Exactly.
Because if I say, "Hi, Shelley, it's Dom," this is how we would communicate, first off, isn't it?
Exactly.
Our first
Yes.
exchange would be our titles, our names.
Yes.
With spirit communication, are you saying to me the first thing you might feel is an impression of characteristics, the sex of the person, their way of being, how they look, and that sort of
Exactly.
area. So you're building up a visual picture for the
A
sitter.
visual, yes, and also a sensation, because a lot of it is mixed, coming through as a knowingness, a visual, and I hear words as well. So it's all kind of mixed together in that way.
Okay, so evidential and impressions. How do
Yes.
we find that nice middle ground between being able to give our impressions? Because a great exercise is for me to close the camera down right now and say to you, "Describe me."
Yes.
Because you don't always get to focus on the person when you're listening. Because your mind has to be very quick to get all the words and all the messages and all the visions to the sitter. Because once one thing's been said, they're moving on fairly quickly to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. And although people that are not so mediumistic as maybe yourself or myself may not appreciate that and may think that a conversation is like the conversation we're having right now. It's nowhere
That
near, is it?
is nowhere near. And oftentimes, it, as we know, Dom, that it is the personality of the communicator as well, because sometimes they're very fun to connect with, and others may be a bit dry, or they may be a bit more private, so they're not giving us a lot. But I love the ones that come through excited to connect with their sitter.
It is one of the nicest feelings for anyone to experience when someone comes through, they are described, they can be recognized, they feel ready to actually connect to that person. And
Yes.
all you would do at that point is just be the medium,
Exactly.
which is, I think,
Yes.
sometimes forgotten. Because in a reading circumstance, it's not about the medium. The medium is just the translator, the conduit, maybe even the gap or the porthole where the messages come through, depending on what you believe. But you're there
Yes.
to facilitate that meeting. And
Absolutely.
would you be very keen to allow other people to continue that conversation once they realize that that loved one, that person is only an arm's length away?
Yes.
Would you be encouraging that person to do this themselves?
That is an affirmative, most definitely, with an exclamation mark, because I once again want to empower people. And during sessions with me, I will give them tools to make that connection for themselves, to understand when they have the memories flow to them throughout the day and the image of their loved one, that that's really their loved one saying, I'm right here with you. So I would never want someone to become dependent on me or my services. Instead, I want to give them the tools, once again, knowing that they can build that connection, and that our loved ones, sometimes it's more of a subtle conversation, as we know when it's coming through, but we can talk to them aloud or in our mind. And just like you and I, we have to have those pauses to listen. We have to be able to listen to what they're conveying and then trust what's flowing to us. Once again, have the confidence.
Confidence,
yes,
understanding, pauses, knowledge, care, compassion, intent. Big group of words that describe what a medium is.
Yes.
And what a medium can do. But one of the biggest words for me is empowerment.
Yes.
Because teaching a person that a conversation with a partner, a mother, a father, that is literally different dimension, but
yes,
there is the most important part. And understanding that that conversation isn't the same as our conversation.
That is very true. And one thing that I do as well is, you know, once, especially these are one-on-one sessions with people in a group or platform, I would approach it differently. But in one-on-one sessions, once I give the evidence, once I give the message, I do invite the sitter to ask questions, to engage, to feel their loved ones. I want it to be more like a gathering rather than me just talking all of the time. And I know some mediums prefer that they just have the validation, the yes or no response. And I do know that that is important. But once we've got them here, once the evidence, once the message, I invite the loved ones to share, to ask as they're guided to.
Okay. So it asks the question again, my mind going fast again. What's the difference between a one-to-one, Shelley, to a platform?
So often in platforms, especially as we know, there's many people there hoping to connect with their loved ones. So I think more of the time parameters that we have, and also the understanding that there are many there. So in a platform or group type setting, I would often just bring through the loved one, provide the evidence, deliver the message, and then conclude it, wrap it up, bless them, and then connect with another one. So of course I would spend time, but not the same amount of time as if it were a one-on-one type setting.
So the actual amount of people that you connect to is very
yes,
important to you on from a platform setting, and also being able to send home, if you like, as many of the congregation, audience, group,
yes,
with that validation that there is something there that they can actually go away with.
Yes. And what I trust in that too is because if we think of those times together as a gathering, a sacred gathering, that many times those in attendance are going to receive messages through the messages provided to others. And I like to think of how our loved ones and spirit can join forces. Some people use the term piggyback, but that term doesn't resonate as much as joining forces with one another. So they'll often come together, have similarities, sometimes the same personality, the same name even. I remember speaking at Lilydale, New York, which I've been blessed to teach at over the past decade, and I love to serve spirit while I'm there to teach. And this is a spiritualist community in Western New York, in the northeastern part of the United States. And There, they give us during season opportunities to serve at various locations. There's Forest Temple and Inspiration Stump, and sometimes they'll have it in the auditorium or assembly hall. But I'm recalling an instance just this summer when I was there in August, and I was bringing through this loved one, describing them. It was a male, I can remember that. I don't remember a lot of the other details, but I did offer a name. It came through. Two women. And side by side raised their hands. They could understand it. And I, of course, on a human level, said, "Are you related? Do you know each other? Is this the same person?" And they said, "No, we just met now that we're sitting together." So it was a very magical moment how spirit used that space and that coming through to bring messages. So then I divided and brought forth a message for the one on the left and then built the energy for the one on the right. And it was just a beautiful experience, especially for me, knowing they were sitting side by side.
Inspirational is the word, Shelley.
Yes, very.
Yeah. And that's, you know, a lovely story for people who, if they decide to go and seek a message or go to a spiritualist church, convention, or Lilydale in New
Yes.
York, anywhere
Yes.
like that, that the possibilities of being able to make friends, and not just mortal friends, but spiritual friends as well, is
Yes.
a part of that process. And I think that should inspire people to go and seek communication and go and celebrate that communication as well. And that sounds like a fabulous place and a really lovely place to gather.
Yes, it is. And you know, to me, and I feel the same for you as well, that mediumship is meant to be healing. It is meant to prove life continues, life after life, and that our loved ones are around us. And also that, you know, we can grow and learn from making these connections as well. Many times those unspoken words or those words that we needed to hear that perhaps said at a different time in our life also.
Okay, so talk to me a little bit about how your perception is of the spirit world or the realm of spirit. I'm very interested to hear. I ask this a lot of mediums because I like to think that people have their own expression, their own ideas, their own perception. So what is your particular perception of this realm?
Yes. So once again, I believe that it's literally all around us, just vibrating at that higher frequency rather than the dense earth plane. And I believe that we can choose what our heaven or our other side space looks like. And, you know, to me, I was raised once again in the Baptist religion where they believe that there was the heaven above us and the hell below us. And I don't believe in that hell option. However, I believe that our perception of where we are may vary. It may not all be perfect in that regards. But I have once again, through connecting with spirit, being able to see the lens of those realms and knowing once again, it can vary based on our individual preferences also. I'm reflecting back to some instances of visually seeing into those other realms because I have clairvoyant experiences, but don't always see the physical apparitions. And having seen that also, it's quite intriguing, very fascinating.
Would you care to describe what you've seen?
Yes, a lot of it because I think back to visiting Disney World and I can't even think of the ride there, but it was in essence supposed to be a ghost type ride. And, you know, the characters in that were more hologram-ish type. And I would have to say that it was a somewhat real depiction, even seeing that through my own visualization, seeing what seemed to be more holographic. And I think of the movie Star Wars too, of things like that coming in with R2-D2 and showing the hologram of Princess Leia. So I know that there's a lot of depictions in movies that to me there's truth to with that.
So you think the holograms could be something that we can manifest ourselves?
I feel like because everything is energy, that we do have the capacity to build that energy up in such a way, you know, and I think of ectoplasm. I've never witnessed that myself in person. I've just seen photographs, but that type of mediumship, the physical mediumship, definitely fascinates me as well. I've had some table tipping experiences that were extraordinary. And had I not been there to witness it and experience it myself, if someone were telling me, I don't know that I would believe them, honestly.
Sure. I think that's a couple of really interesting points. For me, as an inquisitor, I want to know why something's happening the way it's happening. I've studied the mediumship of the Fox sisters back in New York at the turn of the 18th, 19th century. I've also looked at other aspects of table tipping, seances, pennies from heaven, Elizabethan bells. That they would actually ring, and when someone please ring the bell if you do. And then we go as far as Helen Duncan, who was a evidential medium from Scotland, UK, who was perceived to have seen stuff that she contravened the Secrets Act during World War II. So there are lots of bits and pieces where this all fits in, and including Michael Roll, who is the campaign for understanding what it's like to pass and go into spirit. So there's a lot of information there from people from past that fit
Yes.
into certain criteria. But I think that as a medium, for me personally, I like to learn and I like to be able to personally experience the things that are going on around, you know, it always happens when I'm talking, that go on around the different aspects of mediumship, because there's not just one aspect of mediumship. When you first started talking, you named a few mediums that you've learned
Studied with, yes.
that you've learned under and studied with. And I think every medium has a different way, of bringing those messages out there,
Yes.
and you sort of see the different mediumship that goes on with different people. So when you're
Yes.
in and watching a medium, another medium work, how does that affect you as a individual? How do you cope with watching somebody else pass through messages?
Yeah, so that's a great question too, because, you know, once again, I do feel like our personality and our ability to communicate, being that communicator for spirit, is definitely something that we'll bring forth as part of our mediumship. And what I find too is, because evidence is so important to me, when I hear people just say, "Your mother's here, she loves you, she's in the kitchen cooking," you know, and that's their message, I'm like, okay, is that it? There's got to be more to this. And I just know that the more that we go deeper and ask for the evidence, ask for the information, you know, a lot of times our loved ones here physically just want to know that their loved ones in heaven are okay, that they're at peace. A lot of times I'll have them say, you know, are they happy? And happy is an interesting word, because I think of maybe peaceful, being peaceful is better and more appropriate, because I think that they would also be happy here, spending more time with us too, but circumstances may not allow it.
Are they content?
Yes, are they
Maybe.
content? Are they at peace? Exactly.
So, is there such a thing as a lazy mediumship?
I would say probably. And you know, we can look at, there are those that are celebrities now that are doing this type of work, and people have different reasons for doing it. You know, once again, some people may want it to be a healing experience. They truly want to make connections. Some people may not have as much training as they could benefit from to grow more in their own abilities. And also, too, some people may just seek fame and fortune. So I think that everyone, once again, is on their own journey. But we also have to know for ourselves as mediums, why are we doing this? You know, what? Why are we being called? Why is spirit providing us with these abilities to be able to do this?
And your answer, Shelley, is why are you being called?
I am being called because I want to help others heal.
And that's a very simple, profound statement.
And yet powerful at the same time, isn't it? Just help others heal.
Heal is another non-descriptive term. If we were to debate what heal was, we could actually have lots of different vibrations and frequency of healing. Because I was told when I was a young medium, I was working with people like Doris Stokes and Doris Collins here in the UK. And I've worked with people like Derek Acora and people that have been known for doing mediumship. And I've never really ever understood why we'd want to be known. I just want to be on stage or on platform or doing the readings for people and not be known. I want people to go away and forget about who I am and remember who I've told them that's come through. That's where I am. And from what I hear from you, you're very much on the same level of understanding that ego and mediumship have no place.
I agree. I feel very blessed once again to do this work. And once again, I feel like we are the conduit or the medium or the channel to help deliver these messages. But once again, we want to help to empower people to know that they can make those connections for themselves too.
Yeah. So it's not about the medium, is it?
Not really.
No. I
think that we just happen to be someone that is working with spirit and working with those here physically, to be the medium in that way.
Yeah. I love intelligent mediums. I absolutely adore them because I want to hold them and say, fantastic. Just go and do what you do and enjoy what you do. And your reward is being able to do what you do. It's nothing else. It's just being able that, and those two words that you can give can actually give someone peace of mind and help them create that feeling in their life where they're not alone, that they have got somebody there with them, is so important. It's such an important process within someone seeking you out, because people don't come and find you by mistake, do they?
No. And one thing that has really helped to expand my own spirit, as I've been blessed to be a provider for an organization here called Helping Parents Heal. And it's actually a worldwide organization now, and very blessed to be able to work with this group and to be a trusted provider that they can recommend to those that are grieving. And it is parents who have children in spirit. And the idea is to help bereaved parents become shining light parents, helping them to make those connections for themselves as well, and letting them know that their children are still with them. They're just not here in that physical form as they once were.
Yeah, there's a special place in my heart for that organization. I came across it from another medium that I interviewed, and his manager introduced me to it. And very, very worthwhile, very wonderful thing, because I can't imagine being a parent myself, what it would feel like to lose a child. It must be one of the most difficult things that you must ever have to live through within anything in your life, any life experience. I think we have many life experiences, but that would be one of the toughest ones. So mediums can understand that and have compassion for and be in places where they're available for people who are grieving, not saying you need to come to me for a reading, I need to be able to do this, or can you take this, or can you do that? None of that. Just be available.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think too, part of this work, if we dare call it work, is, you know, just to be a heart-centered, be compassionate, be kind. And once again, as we know, that creates a ripple throughout humanity, throughout consciousness, to help others to be more kind and compassionate also.
Sure. Where do you think knowledge comes from, Shelley?
Ah, knowledge. So I heard in my head, knowledge is power. And so, of course, I think knowledge comes from source and that we all have access to it. You know, think of it as that direct connection to that archived library, if we shall call it that, but infinite wisdom and access to everything. It's just a matter of what we're choosing once again to access and tune into.
So, do we have to be on the vibration of knowledge to understand knowledge or on the same frequency?
I think that's a good question because I feel that we're all accessing some type of knowledge, but I feel like higher knowledge, greater knowledge, if we want to use those terms, you know, because I feel like we have things here that we know. Sometimes people use the word common sense or know-how that, you know, comes to us, but at the same time, I feel like we have to be open and receptive and even seeking that knowledge for the greater knowledge.
So, who does knowledge belong to?
Everyone.
So, it's there for everybody. So,
Everybody.
do we need to be able to share that knowledge is there for the good of everyone, not just for the benefits
Absolutely.
of a few?
Knowledge is power, and that's why I feel too that everyone should have access, you know, to higher education if they choose to pursue that. But once again, you know, we've got to remember, especially if we think of even the internet, because Google is a great place for knowledge as well, but we got to practice discernment and really trust what is being put out there. I think of here in America, we're not going to talk about it, but the idea of politics and the idea of other beliefs and things like that, and a lot of conspiracies. And I'm sure that's everywhere in the world, but at the same time, I feel like what vibration, what frequency we're tuned into, it may be something that we can be more of the observer to, or in some instances, people may be getting sucked into that vortex.
Okay, so spiritual knowledge. Where does
Yes.
spiritual knowledge begin? What's the beginning part, Shelley? Where do we begin with
Yeah.
that?
Yeah,
What's
I think once again.
the precursor to spiritual knowledge?
I'm hearing to convey at this point that it's within us. Everything is already there. We're just remembering.
So we haven't forgotten anything.
It just may not be in our conscious awareness. How's that? We haven't forgotten, we just may not remember.
So that would actually imply that we already know everything.
Yes, it would, wouldn't it?
It would. Is that so?
And that seems pretty powerful when we think of that once again, but not in an ego way, more of a once again a confident way, knowing that we are all connected to source and that we are all part of that consciousness.
Interesting, isn't it? Because the deeper you delve into it, the more it pulls out imponderables that we have to figure out for ourselves, because spiritual knowledge can be a wide labyrinth, can't it? You need a ball of wool just to be able to trace your way back from where you've been, because there are some of us who can forget where we've come from to where we're
Yes.
going, and we very rarely trace back where we've been. We're just looking forward.
Exactly.
And if time doesn't exist, which I won't ask you whether time exists or not, that's far too far too difficult to figure out. But if time doesn't exist, where do we fit?
Right.
And
Ah, that's a lot to think about as on a human level.
it is, isn't it? And I don't think we
Yes.
need to go too deep into it, but not for today. Maybe another day, Shelley. But the
Yes.
but the
Yeah.
but the
Going back to what we said, though, looking in the mirror, looking at our younger self, I know that there has to be some element of aging or some element of time with that, even though we think of the clocks, calendars, things like that. But our physical body is also reflective of what is occurring. I have to know that.
How about our spiritual body?
Our spiritual body is infinite and perfect, and there is no time.
See, that's quite a comparison, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So which one do we want? Do we want to be in the spiritual or do we want to be in the mortal?
Well, I think because I signed up and you signed up to be here during this incarnation for this lifetime, I think both apply. But at some point, we will discard the remains of this physical form and return to perfect wholeness as spirit ourself.
That's quite a thought, isn't
Yes.
it? Okay, so let's go back. Tell people where they can get hold of you, your books that you've written, the courses that you run, the things that you're actually currently doing, and a little bit about the future for Shelley, and what she's going to be doing in the next few months or so.
And so once again, my website is shellyrwilson.com, and I can be found on social media on Instagram at Intuitive Medium Shelly, on Facebook at Intuitive Medium Shelly, as well as Embracing the Magic Within and Journey into Consciousness. And my books are available as paperback or ebook on Amazon, and they are 28 Days to a New You, Connect to the You Within, Journey into Consciousness, and Embracing the Magic Within. And so what I have coming up, I have several online classes, both through my own Zoom, and also I'm teaching for Lilydale during off season. And then I'm going to be returning to Lilydale during season next year and teaching three workshops in July. And I'll also be speaking at the Helping Parents Heal Conference in Phoenix next year in August. But otherwise, a lot of things coming up and several classes online via Zoom too.
That keep you busy, won't it? You seem to have
Yes.
plenty to be thinking about and plenty of people to be connecting to, which is good. And I'm sure that from the sound of what we've talked about over these last 50 minutes, you're very keen to make time for people as well. And
Oh, absolutely.
yeah, I think,
Absolutely.
which is a fundamental, isn't it? It's one of those most important things that we do is to be available and to find that particular gap. Because we've got time for everything. I don't think we should ever specify where we are. We've always got time. And
Exactly.
an important thing. So one last question, Kelly.
Yes.
Okay, last question. What was the last piece of music that you listened to personally?
That I listen to personally. Actually, I listen to Shayna Knoll singing, and I can't even think of the song right now, but it was to help to prepare to get into the power to work today. So I the name of the song has completely evaded my mind when you asked me that, but Shayna Knoll.
Who are they?
She is a singer, and it's a spiritualist type song. Where I sit is holy. It just came into my awareness. Where I sit is holy.
Okay. And what do you listen to for fun?
I like probably 80s, 90s pop music. I like the blend, probably even the 2000s. I tend to sit in my car and just hit the rotate button where it just searches through the songs and then I'll stop at one. But that tends to be my genre preference.
So, pop music, Britney Spears, Rolling
Maybe that would be
Stones.
part of the time. Yeah, all of the above. I can't turn down a good song, so I've got probably a lot of variance in my playlist.
So, you find that's relaxing, do you, to sit and listen to
I
music?
do. I
Yeah.
do. I mainly listen to it just when I'm driving. And other than that, I tend to like quiet when I'm at home. So I don't have any noise in the background, just the sound of the wind chimes that I hear outside my window, and just nature.
Okay, well, Shelley, this time has flown by, hasn't
Yes, it
it?
has.
It's gone so quickly. It's a shame that we haven't got longer and longer and longer because I've got a list of questions I could ask you or a list of things that I could actually ask you to recommend or, Lily Valley, all these places. I want to know so much more about. They sound fascinating places. But for this time and for this particular episode, it's time for us to say goodbye. and time for me to say thank you for being my guest.
Yes, well, thank you, Dominic. This has been great, and I agree that it has flown by very quickly.
So, Shelley Wilson, Shelley R. Wilson, for the website
yes.
people, thank you very much for taking time to talk to us about your spiritual beliefs and your understandings.
Thank you.